Greetings.
Hi, how are you?
I'm listening.
Great to meet you.
Ah, I've been expecting you.
For the good
you
of
come
all.
Get the voodoo. Hey, Darren.
And you are...
Light be with
hey.
You.
Great to
you
meet
you. You come to consult the spirits?
Welcome to Orgrimmar. Have you come to serve the Horde?
Hello, and welcome to Control Alt WoW, the podcast for those of us who love World of Warcraft and love making many alts. Today is Tuesday, July 15th, 2008. This is episode 71, entitled Authenticator for the Win. I am Aprilian, your host, and with me is Asheo.
Good morning, Aprilian.
Good morning, Asheo. How are you today?
Well, given that we're just entered another extended maintenance, I'm wowless for another Tuesday night.
I know. Oh, wow. I mean...
Hopefully, it's patch Tuesday.
We'll enter
Wednesday mod update.
Right. And everything will flow perfectly, and we'll have no problems, and the realms will open up again in a few hours. Or did they did say extended maintenance?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So that does sound like patch Tuesday.
So 8 hours. So you'd reckon that hopefully,
we'll be able to get mounts
by
at
the time
level
you
30.
Hear this, we'll be running around on level 30 mounts.
Awesome. That'll be great. So I got my authenticator.
Excellent. And it's easy to use?
It's easy to use. The only problem I can see having is when I, if I wanted to log off and on multiple accounts. So every time I log off, I have to authenticate. But other than that, it's pretty easy to do.
Every time you log off, you have to authenticate?
Right. If I can log off and on between characters on the same account.
Mm-hmm.
But if I want to log off on one account... I'm on one machine, like at work or something.
Mm-hmm.
During my break at work, because I don't actually play while I'm working.
Of course not.
And I would have to then authenticate each account as I log back in and out. But it makes me feel so safe.
That's because you are.
Right. So it's great. I'm even tempted to go out to an internet cafe and try it. Of course, we don't have internet cafes over here anymore, so I guess that's not possible.
Really?
Yeah. Not in Providence. We have the closest we have is you can go to a Kinko's and use one of their machines.
Mm, okay.
But I think everybody owning a laptop has killed the internet cafe.
Right.
Yeah. Well, even I guess if I were to go like and use a T-Mobile hotspot, I would still be... safer than I would have been using one in the past.
Yep.
So I'm very excited. And we got some responses for our contest. I think we're going to let that run one more week. I do have an extra authenticator that I will be sending out to anyone who sends us the winner of the contest for the most interesting alt story, how you play your alts.
Yep.
But let's get into this week. Do you want to go?
Let's show. I'll go first. Me, you, me, me.
No, you.
So I've been determined to get through all the Shadowmoon Valley quests on the Pallian Priest. So I've spent a fair amount of time down in Shadowmoon Valley working through all the quest chains down there, and I'm happy to say that I've completed them all bar two, and they're two... quest chains that the end of a chain that's a five-man group quest. So I just need to one of them's you actually need an item to be able to see the mob that you have to kill. So
is that one of those ones where you put a hat on or something?
Yeah.
This is on a shield and a shield. They're both 70 now or no?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh,
excuse me.
La-dee-da. You know, this is a dragon that hovers out on the ledge down in off Shadowmoon Valley, and unless you're wearing the goggles, you can't see him, which means you can't attack him.
Mm-hmm.
I went before I was on this quest chain, went to try and help some people do it. And they go, here he comes. And I'm like, where? What? Who? And I'm just standing there and they're all losing health. And I'm like, okay, I'm not being much help here. So, yeah, I need to find some people that are on that chain to finish that one. And the other one is the Cipher of Damnation, which is a rather long and time-consuming quest chain that I only just got to the last bit of this evening before a server shutdown. And there's one step. It's actually a very good chain to do. It's lots of fun. So I'd recommend that you do it. But for when you're dual boxing, there's one part of the chain where you need to get one of the ciphers of damnation out of a chest in a coil scar system. And it's the easiest place to do it. There's this big cave system that you go into. But the chest is locked. And in order to unlock a chest, you need to get a key. And the keys are dropped by random mobs. And it's not 100% drop rate. So you might kill half a dozen of these mobs and get one key. And you go and find a chest and you open it and the quest item is not in the chest.
Oh, no.
So then you go and kill a few more and find another key. You get to a chest and you open it. And it's not in that chest. I was in this cave system for an hour and a half, killing and opening chests and killing and opening chests. And, of course, I got the first one. And it's so not only is it a drop quest within a drop quest with a crappy drop rate, it's also usually when you get that, it's the quest item can be picked up by everybody in the party, not this one. You have to do it individually for every member in the party.
Oh, my gosh.
It took me forever, but I was so determined to get it done. And one of the things that helped me stay in this cave is there was mining nodes that kept spawning in there. So I was doing lots of mining, waiting for these mobs to respawn, so I could kill them and look for keys.
So what do you're making gold now when you turn in a quest, right?
Oh, heaps. Yeah, these quests are like 20 gold a pop.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. Cool.
So, yeah, very well worth doing, even if just for the gold. But also for the scryer or older rep, a lot of the chains down in Shadow Moon Valley give you scryer or older rep, depending on which side you've chosen.
Oh, that's interesting. So if you are dual boxing, you probably need to be on the same side.
Well, yes. Yes, kind of. I think a lot of the quests actually line up in terms of what the mobs that you need to kill and stuff.
Okay,
they're just given by different people. So you probably could team up with someone of the opposite faction and help each other get the quest done. But, yeah, it's certainly a lot easier if everybody's scryer, and that's what I've done with the Pally and the Priest.
Because, I'm triple boxing and, well, we're just not, we're just still at Hellfire Peninsula. Mm. But because I wanted to bring Aprillion up to speed. But I think Aprillion and Realfire are Scryer and Aunt Willia is Aldor.
Yep.
So that's going to be interesting later on.
It doesn't matter too much. It's actually beneficial to have one of each in a way because a lot of the quests that you kill, you're going to get the badges and the signets and the rings and things to hand in. So you'll get some for each of the scryer and older. So I'm not yet complete. I've still got a couple of chains to finish off. I don't know whether they actually give scryer rep. One of the five man ones that we knocked over tonight gave 1,000 scryer rep, which was fantastic.
Wow.
So just having done all the quests that I can, I'm about 3,000 into Honored on Scryer Rep, and I haven't done any of the Signet or Arcane Tome hand-in. So you can get a lot of rep just by doing the quests. So it's well worth doing if you want to get to Exalted on Scryer Rolder. I thought I'll try and pick pick a chain that and try and solo it. There's a chain, the Path of Conquest, which is supposed to be a group quest. I think it's like three or four people that it recommends, and I managed to, well, you know, when I say solo it, I managed to dual box it and get it done. It took me a while. there's mobs all over the place, and it's really easy to aggro them. I died a couple of times. I must have pulled about, because these are level 70 mobs, and they're casters as well, so that casters are deadly to paladins because they just shoot you from a distance. I must have pulled about a dozen of them, and I got 11 of them down, and the last one killed me. So it was pretty good effort. So I ran back to my body, and there was sparkles all over the ground, and got I think I got about three arcane tomes and lots of signet rings from all those kills. And I was going to leave the last bit of it. I thought, oh, I won't try and solo this, because the last bit of it you need to kill five elite giants. And I thought, oh, that'll take me forever. So I thought I'll pick up the quest and then just, you know, get some help and do it later. So I picked up the quest, and then for some reason or other had a look at it gives you a disguise, and I had a look at the item in my bags, and it says duration 60 minutes. Don't I have to do it now? I'm going to have to do the last part again and get this disguise again. So I went and killed these giants, and yeah, that was a bit of a struggle, but I got through that without dying, which was it's a nice achievement to get that done. So I'm nearly finished all my quests. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do with them once I've finished all my quests out there. I guess I'll start with the Shattered Sun Offensive dailies. Or maybe, because I haven't done Shadow Moon Valley on Jekyll and Hyde, maybe I'll bring Jekyll and Hyde down and dual box them through all the quests down there. Ashaya's been back doing some more arena PvP this week, or the last couple of weeks, last two Tuesdays. Not much more than the minimum you need to do for a week of arena. And I think we've won... Two.
So you're on an arena team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 5v5.
Oh, okay. Who are you? What's the makeup?
Just some other guildies. Well, there's actually about seven of us on the team. So just depending on, you know, who's
available,
who's online. But generally, it's warlock, druid, rogue, shaman, and one other.
So you go down to, is this that thing in Tanaris, or is it something else?
No, it's just in Lower City. You can join the queue, and they're all over the place. They just teleport you automatically to wherever the...
So what's that thing in Gadgetzan then?
Yeah, well, you can queue up there.
Oh, okay. It's just
there's like three
queue.
Different places you can queue up.
Okay.
Not that I've ever been there. I've only ever queued up in Lower City.
And then you go in to
and it's
an
just,
arena.
Yeah, it just teleports you into an arena.
Like the BG thing. You get that little bong sound. And okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've won like, two real fights. And when I say real fights, what I mean is, you know, we actually went out there and battled and actually killed the other team. Most of the time we get completely annihilated, but including coming up against a five boxing shaman team.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
They were...
It would just come out, and because we're running a mod called Proximo, and it actually shows you the other team and who they are and what spell they're casting. So you just see these five synchronized lightning bolts goes, bang!
And is it like, that Jin guy, or is it another person?
No, it's another guy. Yeah, he was tough to beat. No, we didn't beat him.
Shaman, because the Zen guy was a mage.
He just comes out.
Yeah.
He just drops totems all over the place and just annihilates us. So I'm sure there's some sort of strategy to coming up against five boxes, but I don't know what it is. And the other interesting set of this was actually last week, last Tuesday. the team we came up against was called Lose for Points. And we'd queue up for battle and we'd apply all our buffs and we'd get mounted up and and the gates would open and we'd run out and 1 second later it says, you've won. What? And we come up against him time and time again and he would just, I don't know, what the hell, what benefit there is to just going out there and losing. I guess you get enough points to be able to buy some PvP gear, but... Yeah, you didn't even play. I mean, it was probably botted. You'd just run out, and yeah, after 1 second, the game had ended and said, "Okay, you've won." It was like, "Well, that's not winning."
No. Well.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could report him, because that seems kind of yucky.
Yeah, it was a bit yucky, but then again, yeah, having our butts.
Yes, that's an official. That's an official World of Warcraft term. It was yucky. Well, that sounds exciting.
I actually bought my first PvP piece today. I bought it, the gloves.
For Ashea.
Ashea, yep.
And are they purple?
Oh, of course. Of course they'd be purple.
And they're purdy?
Yeah, they're purdy. I picked them because they have a 50% chance of ignoring interrupts when you're casting fear.
Oh.
And yeah, a warlock in arena, I mean, yeah, basically it's ... fear, ... fear, 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 ... fear. That's really all I do. Yeah. Just try and keep people under control. Mm. That should help. What else this week? This week, whilst I was down in Shadow Moon Valley on a shield, I got a world random drop for a blue blacksmithing piece. It was the Rage Steel shoulders, and it required 365, I think, blacksmithing, and I had 360 blacksmithing, so that was enough incentive for me to go out and do mass farming of ore and grind my blacksmithing up to 375. So,
oh, cool!
I now have my very first 375 blacksmith.
That has got to be amazing, because I know how hard it is to.
It takes an amazing amount of ore to get those last 20 points. It is just something chronic. I thought, oh, this is crazy. I'll figure out, you know, what I should be actually making. I looked at a couple of guides, and I thought, oh, surely there's a better way than that. And I actually started a spreadsheet, and I worked out on a spreadsheet how much ore was and how much ore you needed to make a bar, and then how many bars you needed to make a particular item, and what the auction house value of them all were, you know, to buy and sell, and then the auction house value of the actual items that you could sell for that I was making. And it worked out that just about, it was, I don't know whether it's a coincidence or not, but there was like three items that I could make to get a skill up, and every single one of those items, no matter how much it cost to make or sell on the auction house, I was always going to lose 75 gold.
Oh, wow.
So each one, the math of it worked out. Yep, you can make this for 200 and sell it for 125. You're gonna lose 75 gold. Well, that's no good. I've worked out the next one. The next one was you make it for 100, but you can only sell it for 25. Oh, I'd lose 75 gold again. I'd do the third one, and it worked out 75 gold again. So I thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not really all that profitable leveling blacksmithing. So hopefully, I'll get some.
What about if you DE'd them? Would that make any difference?
Oh, I didn't work that out.
Oh, okay.
Possibly. I did DE a lot of the stuff that I made, mid 300s with my blacksmithing, because I just, you just make so many of them, because I was making stuff, almost until it was green to get skill up points. Whereas the last 10, 15 points, they were brown or orange, so I was getting pretty much assured skill point every time.
Mm.
So I did that, got my blacksmithing up to 375, and then I thought, oh, hang on a minute. I think I've got enough shadow cloth for my frozen shadow weave set for the priest. So I had a look. Yep, I've got enough shadow weave, but I needed a whole bunch of primals to actually make the frozen shadow weave set. So off I went again and started farming primals this time to level my, because you need 375 tailoring to make the last couple of pieces of the frozen shadow weave set.
Right.
So, yep, I got my first 375 tailor this week as well, and made all the entire frozen shadow weave set for my priest. So she's glowing purple.
Oh wow, that must be awesome!
Yeah, doing a hell of a lot more damage now. I should have done it earlier in the week. It would have helped me a lot get through the Shadow Moon Valley quest a lot quicker. I got there eventually. And that takes it. I didn't work out the costings on tailoring, but I couldn't even the amount of primals that I needed. You know, I was willing to just buy them off the auction house, but there wasn't even enough on the auction house. I needed something like, you know, so well over 30 primal warders for a start.
Now, are you getting whole primals when you farm, or do you get the
moats? You get moats, yeah. So okay. You can't find primals. You got to farm the moats.
And then make
get 10 of them and turn it into a primal. So that's time consuming.
Yeah, I was getting motes of shadow when I was doing the warlock, going out on the edge of Hellfire Peninsula to get those.
Yep.
And
the void things.
Yeah, the void things. Which actually, I spent some time doing that, but I'll talk about that later. But
yeah. So my tip for people, when I started out in the Outlands and, you know, started getting all these moats and putting them together to make primals and looking at how much they were selling for on the auction house, you know, I just sold them all. Well, this is fantastic. I'm going to make a fortune here and sold them all. But really, I should have just kept them. Primal shadow, primal shadows and fire, I think, for your shadow cloth. I basically would have had to turn around and buy them all back and more at higher rates than what I sold them for. So I reckon that primals, just hang on to them as you level, because you're almost certainly going to need them for something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That'd be my tip. And last week I mentioned that I wasn't sure what I was going to do with my two mages. This week I've been playing one mage with my priest, leveling a mage and just having the priest tag along, and I'm enjoying it a lot more. It's a lot more fun. I'm not having to struggle so much, and I'm actually getting to use a lot more of my mage spells doing a lot more with the character rather than just, you know, bam bam and kill stuff in two shots. So I think it's a lot more fun that way, and you know, if I do get into trouble, you know, the priest just does a quick heal, and, you know, because it's the priest's level 70, the mage is level 30, just even a small heal puts me back up to full life. And it was interesting. I thought, so I knew, carrying on from the experience points testing that I started doing with grouping and ungrouped. So I was doing it ungrouped, so the priest wasn't in my group, and if I killed something, you know, I'd get full experience points for it. If the priest did some damage, then, you know, it basically scaled down. I'd get less and less experience points, but more and more damage that the priest did. However, if I just stand there and use the mage to kill a whole heap of mobs, even if it takes a long time, if all the priest does is heal the mage,
wow,
the mage still gets all the experience points.
That's cool.
So I'm thinking, okay, mage AOE, and basically I can't die because the priest just keeps healing me, and I'm getting full experience points. So, yes, I think that seems to be the way to do it.
Cool.
Maximizing leveling that way. And I did a little bit more on my shaman to test that, and basically it just the ungrouped the experience points scale depending on how much percentage of the damage you do, and if you're grouped, then it really doesn't matter how much damage you do. You get the same amount of experience points regardless.
Right.
So if I'm grouped with a high level and I do 100% of the damage, I might get 20 experience points. If the warlock does 100% of damage, I still get 22 experience points. It doesn't matter how much percentage of damage you do when you're grouped. So it's probably easier in some aspects to be grouped, because if you accidentally tag a mob on your level 70, and it's some, I did it a couple of times. It's like I turned around, tab, hit a damage spell, and oops, I've just tagged this named mob that I needed for my quest, and I stand around waiting for it to respawn. So that's a bit annoying, but it's certainly a lot faster to level ungrouped, because you get a lot more experience points being ungrouped, as long as you don't make mistakes like that. And that's been my week. Lots of farming for moats and ore, and lots of quests, and starting to enjoy my mage a lot more. So he. I'm doing the frost priest is a he, and he's just hit 32 about 9 minutes before the server went down.
Oh, congrats! Yeah.
What about you? What have you been up to this week?
Oh, I've been doing a bunch of silly stuff, as usual.
I was going to say it.
So, one of the things I was doing was, I'm back in Outland again after, the last couple of weeks doing all that running around in for the Midsummer's Festival.
Yep.
And I'm so enjoying my bank alt with those shoulders. I just think that is just so cool. I had Real Fire, a shield, Real Fire, a Brilliant, and Aurelia out in Outland. And we went back to Hellfire Peninsula. So we're doing, turned out that there was a bunch of quests I hadn't finished on both of them. On both Real Fire and Aurelia, that now a Brilliant can join in.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was kind of neat. And she's actually, Aprilian's actually passed Real Fire.
Well,
I think some of that was when I had, last week when I had Aprilian out in Sothius.
Okay.
The silly things. And I actually did try to get together a group for AQ.
I saw and that on the forums.
Yeah, there's some interest, but it's like, there's no way I'm going to get 20. Maybe if I got, 10? Level 70s and a few.
Yeah, possibly. Did you actually look up where the quest item is that you need? Is it in AQ 20 or is it in AQ 40?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't go that far.
I saw your forum post and meant to actually reply saying, better before you get all the way to the end of AQ 20 and go, well, hang on a minute, I didn't find the quest item that I needed. To make sure that it's actually there and not in AQ 40.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Well, of course, part of it is just going in for the fun of it.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny or sad if you think, because there's these big instances sitting there unused, kind of like a drive-in that's getting dust because everybody's at home or at
drive-in.
The...
It's like an entire. You realize that AQ 40. There's a mount that you get in AQ 40. That's how big it is. You need a mount inside the instance.
So it's like an abandoned amusement park.
it's like right. About six Disneylands together, I think.
Yeah, and it's just sitting there, and it's kind of sad. But, I didn't get anybody yet, but it's still possible, might happen. So, so that's why Aprilian was high, so much, getting much higher than Real Fire.
Yeah.
And, I ended up, doing the Voidwalker quest out on the edge, and there was one, of Hellfire Peninsula, which is funny, because when you die out there, you end up back at the gate, back at the portal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you have to run back. And at one time, I was running through dead, and I almost fell off the in there, but I caught myself. But there was one where you had to...
Times. You fallen off yet?
No.
Okay.
I did jump off after I had disconnected, but I wasn't in the game, so I just kind of fell, and then I looked down, and my body was... I was on a horse, and it just went down, and nothing happened. But fortunately, I haven't fallen off. It's kind of weird, though, because you do feel like you're actually on some kind of asteroid, you know, when you get to that edge part. It's kind of neat.
Yep. It depends on your camera angle, but a couple of times I've actually fallen off and my stomach's actually leapt up like you're on a roller coaster and you drop down. It's like, I've actually had that, and it's like, whoa! It's like, oh, hang on a minute, it's all right, just a game.
How cool is that? So we had that guy that you had to kill after you fought, after you got those 40 void shadow thingies, void crystals. Mm-hmm. But all three of them didn't have it, so that was kind of cool. And it was kind of easy because Aunt Millie is now level 64. But, you know, she's still getting experience. Yeah, that's kind of neat. Yeah, she's not 70.
You've been doing some work on her.
Yeah, well, she's just been hanging out and still getting points, XP. And so then while I was at work, I took Aprilian back out, and I just farmed those Void Walkers because of the Motes of Shadow that I didn't realize it, but after a while I had enough to make a couple of Primals, so that was kind of cool.
And you'll want to hang on to those for your Primal Mooncloth.
Shadow Cloth?
Shadow Cloth, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Shadow Cloth that's out there in Shadow Moon Valley, but I need to make Spell Cloth. I have a cooldown just sitting there for Spell Cloth. And, ooh, speaking of which, do you think maybe one day this week you could help me get to Netherstorm?
Sure.
Okay. And I was thinking almost of respecting because, you know, it's... I did Primal Mooncloth, and everybody must do that at first because Primal Mooncloth is the easiest one to complete the quest when you're level 60. Because you have to get...
But then you'd have to respec.
Right. But it's only 150 gold, right?
Yeah. But I don't know. I guess because I left it, what was I, 64 or something, before I realized that I should have done this.
And which one did you do?
Well, I went straight for the Shadow Cloth because that's what I needed. And with a four day cooldown, and you need, I lost track how many you need, but you need a lot. Yeah, 30-odd Shadow Cloth times 4 days.
I'm getting a bunch of Primal Mooncloth that, you know, unless I keep making bags, there's really nothing much I can do for it.
Yeah.
So, although there are people in chat always trying to trade Primal Mooncloth for Spell Cloth, or Shadow Cloth, which, of course, I'm...
So you've specialized in Mooncloth, have you?
Right.
Okay.
Because that was the only thing I could get to at the time. I couldn't get out. And I did finally manage...
You could get to Netherstorm easy. I mean, my level 30 mage has been to Netherstorm.
Yeah, but she had a level 70 escort.
I'll get you there in the next couple of days because if that's the set that you need to be making, then you just want to get up there and get that flight path. And once you've got a flight path, you just land and make it straight away. It's not like Shadow Moon Valley where you've got to get out to the ledge past
past all those air elementals. And Alliance, because you do have to get past a bunch of Alliance too. So.
No.
No? Okay.
No.
No, just mobs.
Just mobs, yep.
Yeah, okay.
And if you're a scryer, are you a scryer on your tail?
No, my tail.
Oh, okay. It's easier if you're scryer because there's a flight path a lot closer to that altar.
You know, I always get those two confused. Wait a minute. Aldor is the one...
Eldor's the one that you die when you leap off their elevator. Scry's, okay. Scry's the lower one. And Scry's, well, the one that's, Scry's the one that's got all the useful...
The vendors?
Vendors outside.
Okay, so yeah, she is Scryer. Okay.
Oh, well,
so,
there you go.
Okay, so she can get out there.
Flight path, yeah, a lot closer. So I'll take you down and get that flight path as well.
Well, she's got that flight path. We made our way out there. The problem we had was getting to it.
Just getting past the elementals, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's kind of scary when you first go out there, because when you leave Shadow Moon Valley, Shadow Moon, that one horde place,
yep.
There are these people fighting these huge, what are those things that the warlocks can summon? Those big rocky things with the green stuff glowing off of them?
It's eternal, no. Jeez, it's been about 40 levels since I summoned one of them.
Yeah, but anyways.
Eternals, I mean. Eternals.
Yeah, Eternals.
Oh. It's not the word, though. It's like that.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's kind of weird because they're sitting there fighting, kind of controlling them, and it's really scary. And the minute you, even while you're on the path, you can get killed. But we made it, and I should just go out and fly back out to Scry. I didn't realize that I could do that.
Cool.
Yeah. So the other thing I've been doing is making loads of money with the Horde pets on the Alliance. It's funny because I think there was some competition, but again, I think because I just keep putting them up.
Everyone else just gives up.
Right. And
we can't compete with this Aprillion.
Yeah, and I gave my Alliance alt a whole bunch of bags now, so she has room. So I just send like 12 of each pet, and so she can constantly keep going. And at one point, I had 300 gold on her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I'm not spending to get that 300 gold. I don't think I spent more than 25 gold, maybe less. You know, because you know they're only 40.
Crazy.
Yeah, it is. So it's really cool. And then I was buying some primals and stuff with that, and I brought some spell cloth because it was cheaper on Alliance side than on the Horde side. Wow. And I transferred it over fine. I guess I picked a good time. But I actually spent Monday night, this last night, I spent like almost 2 hours gathering stuff because I have to get my alt in Eversong Wood to get the Dragonhawk hatchlings. And then I have to get the alt in Thunderbluff to get the prairie dogs, and then the alt, and I send somebody to Ogrimmar and find that guy walking around by the mages to get the snakes, and then you know, get it all over.
Yeah, so you got a fair amount of running around to do,
right? And then once I get it all together, then I just get my two alts, bank alts down in Booty Bay and set it up and go, and I'm good to go. And I kind of do it so that I'm gathering, so that I buy stuff off the auction house. On the Alliance side, you know, bargains on the primals as the week goes by. Yep. And then when I'm ready to do the transfer, then I'm doing everything at the same time. So it kind of works out kind of neat. And so it makes for a little bit of a bargain on the primals.
The infernals.
That's what they're called.
Eternals.
Right. Close and on. I love those things because they actually feel like they're big, living rock when they move and stuff, you know. And they're out in Desolus, and they're out in Fellwood, and they're sitting out in Shadow Moon, or being controlled in Shadow Moon. I just love the little effects that they do, because it actually feels like these people are out there trying to control these things, you know. It just, the whole atmosphere is so cool. So I sold another Primal Moon cloth bag. Which is good, because I'm getting a lot, you know, I'm gathering a lot of gold.
Are you actually making decent profit on her?
Yeah, well, if you consider the fact that, you know, she's currently Primal Moon spec, so she's making two, you know, every 4 days. And every once in a while, somebody was selling a couple on the Alliance side, and I responded to trade, which sometimes... Trade works for trade. It's really amazing.
Oh, wow. Really?
I know. Really? Every once in a while, you actually can get something out of trade.
Which, that's amazing.
That's why I haven't turned it off on my bank alts yet. But somebody said they had two Primal Moon cloths they wanted to sell, and they said set a price, and I said 55 gold. So, I mean, of course, that's probably all they cost for them to make it, but still, that was good for me, because for two primal mooncloths, I probably would have spent more for the mats than I would have for the 55 gold, so that was kind of neat. Oh, and the other thing I noticed when I was looking at Primal Life on the auction house, sometimes the motes sell really cheap.
Right.
Yeah, because I guess because people are selling them individually, and I guess they don't realize that, or they don't think they can get that much. And a couple of times I got some, like, 10, I was able to get 10 motes for, like, 12 gold.
I regularly look for cheap motes. Sometimes, you find them cheap, but other times, I haven't looked it up, but there must be some stuff that actually requires motes rather than whole primals.
Really?
And the motes are actually more expensive trying to buy the motes rather than a primal. Because it's just miners, right, that can actually break down a primal back into motes.
I've never
actually done it, but I think it's actually a mining skill to break them back down again.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's interesting. I didn't. So I guess there is a reason for moats. So I did do some old world content. I really want to get Iwari, my level 47 warlock, to 50, because she's my engineer. And, there's some things you can't do. She's already at 300 in engineering, so I wanted her to do some stuff. Plus, if she gets high enough, when she gets to, she can do that helicopter thing, which would be kind of cool.
That's seven. That's level 70, though, yeah?
Oh, well, she'll never get there.
That's what I was thinking. I mean, engineers are cool, but...
If she could do the field bot thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and actually she has some for her level. I think there's one that she could do at 275, but I've never used it. That's where she can click on a field repair bot, and it's someone that can repair and that you can sell stuff to. Have you ever used that in an instance?
We use it in raids a fair bit.
Okay, because that just seems so cool.
Yeah. It'd be nice if the engineers actually got a cut.
Yeah.
The repair bot makes.
So, there was some quests that she needed to do. And one of them was the Broken Alliance quest. In Badlands, which is one of my favorite quests to do.
Especially since you get the non-combat pet doing that last time.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. Aprilian, I think, but the neat thing is I figured out how to really do it well, because I figured out that you don't really have to engage that boss. There's one guy that you have to kill to get the first earth binding thing or sigil of earth.
Yep.
And you don't have to kill the whole group.
You don't have to kill them all,
No, you can kind of... Actually, I figured something out. You know that little guy that fought? There's like three or four... Mm-hmm. No, there's four or five big guys. Then there's the boss, who's dressed in kind of blackish. And then there's this little teeny guy.
One little dude. Yep.
If you aim for the teeny guy while they're walking, the teeny guy comes running and the boss comes running. It's like... Yep. I think that's his... never mind. Anyway... And so Iwari was able to take him down by herself, which was kind of neat. You know, sometimes it's kind of fun to figure out different ways to do these quests, and to find little shortcuts.
I know it's really easy on a rogue, because you just do a distract and the boss kind of stops and goes, and the rest of them all walk off.
How cool.
And you just go over and whack the crap out of the boss and kill him. There's little tricks to patrolling mobs like that.
So now she's got to run around and get those runes.
Yep.
From those obelisks, but she's out there where the weplings are. So I brought in real fire, because you're gonna end up killing a lot of those things, and I hate to leave.
Need to be skinny.
Yes, you have to be skinny. So she came in, and Since Real Fire is 61, oh, I think I put her down at 62. She was able to really even do the elites. And it there's nothing needed in going into an area where they used to kick your butt. And kick their butt. So.
Take this.
Yeah. So that was kind of neat. And she ran in and, you know, did the thing, clicked on the obelisk, the big one. Got those two guys down, got their bindings, and went back and turned that in. So it was a piece of cake, and it felt kind of good. And it's, you know, there was on the instance, they were talking about going back to places where you've already been to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you go.
I haven't heard this week's.
This was a few episodes back.
Okay.
But they were saying how, you know, you go to so-and-so, and he says, go and kill so many of these people.
Right.
And then you come back.
And then go back and, you know, go and kill these other dudes in the same place.
Right, yeah, and in the same place. And I know that sometimes it seems repetitive, but I like going back to where I've been and knowing, you know, like I know I can duck over here, or I can hide behind this one, or I can cut through here. So to me, that's kind of makes it neat to go back. I think maybe that's what they were intending, that you learn an area doing the low-level things or the easier stuff. And then you go back.
But some of it's annoying. Like, for example, today I was in Hillsbred, and it's the quest where you've got to kill the clerk, the town's farmer, who's a Majubits, and Miner Hackett.
Right.
And you've got to go down into that mine and find Miner Hackett. And there's so many mobs down there, and they're all wandering around, and they've got this huge aggro radius. And you know, unless there's a couple of you, it's really easy to get overwhelmed. And
right.
So you go in there and kill him, and it's like either the next part of the chain or the part after it, go back in there. And kill this other dude in there. It's like, oh, come on, give me a break. I hate that mine.
Do you ever get claustrophobic a little bit when you're in one of those?
Nah.
Sometimes I get a tiny bit claustrophobic because it's like it makes you feel like you're really down in a mine. And then I got another account.
You what?
I got a fourth account.
You didn't.
Well, I got the trial. I did. I sent the trial from one of my accounts to me. So when I do activate it, and I did buy a battle chest. I haven't opened it yet, but you know, you can buy it for $40. You can get the whole World of Warcraft and the BC thing.
Okay, now.
Yeah, I haven't told my.
Why? No, if you told, yeah, because so, if you told your husband and wife.
And I forgot, he does listen, doesn't he? Oh, honey, episode 71 really sucked. You don't want to listen to this one.
Come on.
I got the fourth one so I can summon. And I did it. And it's great. It's so wonderful not to have to run around. I wish I had done this before Midsummer's Festival.
No, come on.
So I started a level one.
You're in a guild with 3,000 people in it, and you need to buy a fourth account to get help to summon.
Yes. It's so awesome just to have, you know, to be able to pull everybody together. And it came in handy because we did the shambling in the guild on Sunday night. We took a whole bunch of like 140 undead level one zombies into all the way through. We ran around and we started out in the.
We did a lot of running around.
Yeah, we started out in the undead starting area, and we just in group went into Undercity, and we took the Zeppelin over to Grumgall, and then we went up to Stormwind. But the neatest thing was I was able to do two things. I got cockroaches on one of my characters, and then I summoned her to Booty Bay, and she got the biscuits.
Right.
From that you can get from the loot cars, but you got to go to Booty Bay. You can't get the biscuits if you can't get to Booty Bay. You can't get any of the loot stuff unless you have to go to Booty Bay. So I was able to summon her to Booty Bay, and get the biscuits, and then she went back to the starting area, and she was able to enlarge the cockroaches.
Huge cockroaches flying around.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, and there was a couple of people who had snakes, so I did their snakes, so we had these giant snakes squirming around. So, I mean, it's... I still have, what, four or five more days left before my, trial account runs out. But, it's really neat, and the only funny thing is, you know, it's a level one, so it can't, well, it's a trial account, and they can't do a lot of things. They can't mail stuff. They can't trade stuff. So I'll figure out in a couple of days if I want to use this battle chess thing and actually do a fourth account.
But, so I don't think there's any chance by the sounds of it that you won't.
Ooh, we should start a betting thing to see, will she or won't she? By next week, will I have three or four accounts?
Lay down the Z.
Yeah, but it's neat because on this account, I've started all guys. And I started a male orc, and I really like him. Oh, and I was getting ready to start. I wanted to do a shaman.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a shaman. And Torin.
Shaman.
Yeah. And I started to do a female, but then I did the. I remembered Jekyll. No, Hyde. Which one is? Are they both Torin? No.
Jekyll's Torin.
Jekyll, right. And I you know, they start the screen on a random spot, and it was a male, and then I clicked on Torin, and I don't know, I love the heavy chest of the Torins rather than the, you know, I mean, the whole idea behind starting a female character, especially supposedly for guys, is so that you're looking at a female character rather than a male character when you're playing. But there's nothing about a female Torin.
No, there's not.
I'm sorry. So
You might as well make a gnome if you're going to make a female Torin.
So I started a male. Oh, and I got a two-letter name, too, without using any umlauts or anything. I got J-A, which was really weird because it's very hard to get a two-letter word, a two-letter name. So anyway, so that and now I'm leveling them up, and I was thinking of moving them around because I think it's kind of neat to start in a different area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Especially if you've done that starting area a couple of times.
Yeah. So that's kind of neat. Oh, the other thing that I'm doing.
I'd say it would have worked a lot better if you had have said, "Look, I've used up all 10 slots on my three accounts, and I've got 30 characters, and I really want to do some more ult, so I've got a fourth account." You know, that I could have swallowed that. I would have been happy with that.
But a fourth account just
fourth
to
account
summon?
A fourth account so I can summon myself. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. And I'm going to put one in, you know, in chat, and every time I hear that there's somebody in trade going, "I need a port to chat," I can make a few goal summoning people. It'll be awesome. And maybe one day I don't know if I can quadruple box. I'm finding out that my new iMac can't dual box as well as my old iMac, which is funny because my new iMac has 4 gigabytes of RAM, but I think my old iMac is a 2.16 gigahertz and my new one is only 2.0, which you wouldn't think it would make such a difference, but
wouldn't think so.
But I'm also wondering if it's because with the old iMac, I have a separate monitor, and the new iMac, I'm using the same monitor, so that might have something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, so that was kind of cool. Oh, and I got the Blizzard Authenticate. I think I mentioned that. I'm just going down my notes, and that's kind of nice. And when on Saturday, while I was on my break at work,
you have lots of breaks at work.
Yeah, I just went into that little over by Spine Break Ridge, a Spine Breaker. There's an encampment where you're supposed to go in and burn stuff down and kill these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just had a Prillian go in there and just kill guys just to get Nether Weave. Because, you know, she couldn't do much by herself.
Right.
And then when I got home, I had Real Fire and a Prillian doing the Stonebreaker quest over there. But we had some problems because, you know, there's a lot of mobs in there and they respawn pretty quickly.
Pretty quick, yeah.
Yeah.
And,
so I brought,
and there's these stupid eyes that wander around and aggro
yeah.
other mobs.
Right. And they tattletale.
Yeah.
They come up and they go, oh, I see you. And then all of a sudden, you see these other guys running from this way across the compound. You're like, oh, man. And but it's weird because it's kind of a trap also for herbalists because there's some really good herbs in there, but they're in weird,
yeah.
They're in weird places, like way up on the top of some rock.
Yep.
And they also hide guys up there.
Uh-huh.
So you go, oh, there's some Dreaming Glory, which is cool because it gives you a nice little buff. And you're up there climbing, oh, flowers, and all of a sudden, you know, bam. You hear this, you know, that noise those orcs make. And, you know, you're fighting for your life. So I brought Aunt Relia up to do it. And, well, it's a time quest. You have to...
That's the one I was talking about last week, where the Alliance have got it easy.
Right, exactly.
It's not timed.
No.
Mm. So and the 5 minutes to get from one side of the compound over to the other to burn the furthest one, that's hard.
Right, and you can't even clear because I was thinking, what if I just go in and clear them all?
No,
and then,
no.
But they respawn.
They've respawned again.
Yeah. While I was standing there and I got caught up in guild chat, I was standing at the forge getting ready to light some. While I had killed a guy and I'm responding to somebody in G chat, and I look back and there's the guy again in the forge. So I didn't do very well. I think. This might be one of those quests where I have to go. Oh well.
It's actually easier if you light them and then run out and all the way around. Don't try and go across the compound.
Go
out of the compound and all the way around, right to the very far and jump over the fence right up the back.
Okay, I'll have to try that.
Yep.
I'll give it one more try. Aprillian is still trying to get exalted with the. Thunder Bluff. So she's been carrying around this bag and these seeds and the Angora soil. And every 10 minutes. Yeah, for the Morrowgreen. And she's a herbalist, so she's been having good luck with it.
Yeah,
but
you could drop right in it. Yep.
Yeah, but still, it's kind of stupid because, you know, she just wants to get a Kodos. For no other reason than she wants to be a blood elf sitting on a Kodos. And I blame Callie Synth for that because I saw her.
It does look
kind
of good.
It does look cool. And at this point,
how
I've invested. I'm like halfway, like 9,000 to 2,100.
Oh, 21,000, okay.
Yeah, 21,000, yeah. So, I mean, I still got an awful long way. And I turned in some rune cloth and stuff and. But it'll be neat when it finally happens.
One day.
Yeah. So,
what's going to be first, hitting 70 or getting exalted with Thunder Bluff?
Probably getting exalted with Thunder Bluff. I'm still having some problem with that add-on toolbox.
The toolbox toolkit?
Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. One of the things that's kind of bugging me about it is that it seems like once you set it for one character, it's the parameters for the whole account.
Yes, it is.
And you can't change it for a specific character, or maybe you can. I think there's a profile you can set up. So I need to go in and so if you don't, you can. I think you can set up a profile, but I need to go in and do that because what I'm having happen is that when I change characters. And they have a different master, it still calls out for the old master.
Right.
But I can't get the sticky to work. I keep getting
really?
The...
That's the best bit.
I know. I keep getting, follow has broken. But I think it's because I'm doing stuff with the other character that breaks follow.
Right. Then, Sticky Follow is it's only it will only refollow after combat. If you break follow while you're just riding along and not in combat, then
no. I'm breaking follow. You know, when I stop to shoot somebody, the follow breaks, or if I have to back up because breaks, So, but it's okay because it doesn't really bother me that much because I do have follow on macro. And I have follow.
But it's a lot. I'm loving it. I'm finding it a lot more convenient to not have to worry about it. It just automatically follows after combat.
Right.
And so you've done a slash TB sticky to actually turn on the sticky follow. Yep.
Right.
And then on your lead tune, target the following tune and say slash follow me.
I did that, and that didn't work. So that's what I need to do. I need to try that again. Follow me. Because I think I did slash follow me, and it didn't know the command. Maybe I did slash TB follow me.
Maybe. Yeah, because slash follow me is actually an emote.
Okay. All right.
It's like you know, slash chicken or slash train.
Right.
Slash follow me.
Okay. Let me try that again. Well, I can't do it right now because the realms are down. But the other advantages are so awesome. Like, it tells me when the pet needs to be fed. It tells me the other yesterday somebody whispered Millfire, and I'm not even looking at her because I know what happened. Millfire got killed while we were doing that stupid flame burning the thing quest.
Yeah.
And but it was because I was doing something with the guild. I was doing something in guild chat and whispers and stuff. And Aprilian had been killed too, but he was getting that offer for a soul stone. And somebody offered to res Realfire, which was sweet. I mean, I felt like telling him, look, I'm just at Hillfire Peninsula. I mean, I don't... You just die. You run, like, what, 3 blocks?
Yeah.
I mean, it was nice, though. I appreciated the thought. It was some random... horde person who just happened to be in the area and could res. So, and if I hadn't had the toolbox toolkit on, I wouldn't have seen the whisper because I wasn't paying any attention. And I, you know, whispered back, thanks, but I'm okay. I'm in the middle of something. It's kind of funny to be just sitting there dead.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. With all this conversation going on.
Because the thing with it is the default is auto accept res.
So
if you had a rest, you would have auto rest and probably got aggro and died again.
Died again. Yeah, and that's the other thing. The auto accept the quests, the auto accept of invites.
And auto accepts res as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So it's pretty neat. And if you're out there dual boxing, I would definitely recommend this.
For sure.
Yeah. And I just wanted to give a shout out to everybody in the guild for the shambling thing again. And the neatest thing is we ended up in Stormwind and we all died. Well, because we were like level 1/2s, but we left our corpses there. So if Alliance goes through Stormwind now, there's like a whole bunch of undead corpse all throughout Stormwind. Speaking of corpses, there's something that bothers me, and I know it's so trivial, but it does. These people that kill themselves in the pool at Thunderbluff.
What?
It's a bunch of low-level Taurens that are floating dead in the pool at Thunderbluff.
I've never noticed.
Yeah, they're probably gone now. But I guess the thing is they all go in together, and they're like all facing like foreheads together, and they like get in the pool and die.
That's
I think it's disrespectful, personally.
Riding bodies in my fishing pool.
Right. It's like, you know, this is Thunderbluff is the home of a proud race of cows.
dead cow people.
And they go in and float, you know. And, you know, when I first started, I thought it was some kind of a, I don't know. If you ever notice if you're in the starting zone in Mulgar, or if you're in Crossroads, or if you're just running through the Barrens, every once in a while you would see like a dead Tauren. just laying around. Yeah. And I thought it was some kind of a, I don't know, quest thing that maybe eventually you had to talk to this person. But I guess people
I just figured it was like, bugger, I'm dead. No, well, I'm logging out and kind of
watch. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I'm not. Yeah. I don't know. I felt like if I leave my body somewhere, I feel kind of sad. I feel like I'm obligated to run back to my body before I log out. One of the things I did with the shambling was I had my character, my undead, was Zombillion. You know, Aprillion, Zombillion.
Zombillion. Well, yeah. Zombillion and Zombrillion.
Right.
And then you didn't confuse people very much by saying, you know, open trade with Zombrillion for a
everybody was
open trade with Zombillion because one made a difference. Very clever.
Yeah, but Zombrillion had the extra large Netherwealth pet because she had brought out her. She was on the collector's edition.
Yep.
Speaking of which, I keep checking with my GameStop people because, you know, I've pre-ordered my Wrath of the Lynchkin thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm dying to make sure I get the collector's edition on that.
Yeah,
that'll be cool. I wonder what'll be in there. But anyways, I took my probably.
Oh, look, I've got 4 more authenticators.
Yeah, but it's a special edition authenticator.
Oh, and a special edition authenticator. Ooh, yeah.
You know, speaking of that, I think it's a neat idea, and I thought everybody was kind of petty about the price. I mean, it's no shipping. So $6.50 to me wasn't that big a deal.
Just covers the shipping.
Yeah. Oh, I know what I was going to say real quick. My level 13 ally, Bankal, did go back to Stormwind and see Zombrillion's body laying there. And I tell you, it made me feel kind of, you know, emotional to see my body laying there. So I don't understand. Yeah. Well, you know, there was a thing once.
I thought it was very. I can't remember whose alt it was, but one of the guildies actually made a level 2 human alt called "Oh God Help Me," and brought it over to the undead starting zone and died there. So there's this naked level 2 human female lying there called "Oh God Help Me," and all these level 1 undead, 100 undead standing around it, cannibalizing it.
And then after she came back, she went around to each undead in Stormwind and was crying. You know who it was? It was Crucinogen.
Oh, it was Chrissy. Oh,
okay. Yeah, Chrissy did it, yeah. Yeah, because I mentioned it on the forum and he said he did.
Good.
That was, yeah, that was awesome. So,
I don't think we actually mentioned that when we talk about the shambling and walking to Stormwind, we literally walked to Stormwind,
right.
Not run. We did the walk all that way.
So I
think my favorite bit was probably through Duskwood, where the largest proportion of these level 1 undead finally olding level 2 at the same time. This is all over the place. The place was like, put on your sunglasses.
And we ended up going through these crypts, which was kind of neat, which I didn't know were there. I guess there's the cemetery out there, Ravenhill Cemetery.
Yep, so I've been down in the crypts before, but just like about 99% of everyone else that had went down there as well, they were like, oh wow, I didn't know this was here. Because down in the crypts, if you actually go right up the back, there's a tunnel that goes through to further up the hill and comes out in another place, and I had no idea that was there. I've been down in those crypts, you know, quite a few times and not realized that there was a tunnel that linked the two. That was pretty cool.
Yep. So I guess we're going to go into emails.
Let's show.
All right. So I'm going to read this first one because it's from Patrick. And no, this one isn't from Patrick. This one is from, who is it?
Tria.
Tria. Oh, yeah, it's Tria. Hi, Tria. It's so nice to hear from you. Yeah, and Tria says, well, after the emails following mine suggested a majority of the add-ons, I have planned to talk about... Oh, wait.
You're paused.
Botching that up. Yes.
Cut.
And let's go back. Well, after the emails following mine suggested a majority of the add-ons I had planned to talk about, I had to go digging through my 300-plus add-ons. Ooh, yes, God. I spend way too much time looking on add-on sites to find one that I thought would be a great addition to any character. The add-on I decided on is Bongo 3 and X-Pearl Unit Frames. I'm glad he brought this up because these are interesting things that I've wanted to try, but they just seemed overly complicated. And I want to add that at the end of his email, he sends some links to some pictures, and they're really interesting because it you know, we get kind of used to a regular UI, but it doesn't have to be that way. And I think it would behoove anyone to try to experiment with the UI, because it's almost like Blizzard is giving us these really neat tools to customize our interface, so we don't have to look at it one way. We can change out the way it looks, and this is kind of, and these are the Bongos and X-Pearl are one of the more interesting ways to customize it.
Yep.
So Bongos is an add-on which removes the Blizzard action bars and allows you to place action bars at any size or area of your screen which you desire, as well as simply then mousing over the bar and pressing the keys you would like to bind that action bar slot to. So basically you can have a bar show up when you want it to, and not just be stuck in your face all the time. Although it may take 2 hours to configure, which seems like a long time, the fact that you will more than likely enjoy the look of it so much that you'll never touch it again. So, you know, 2 hours of configuration equals a long life of happy wow.
Happy joy.
Right. unless you are me, I am never satisfied with my UI and need to constantly change things. And Asheo, it too allows you to move and change the minimap. Oh, cool. What? Along with Bongos, I use a unit frame add-on called X-Pearl Unit Frames. This add-on takes the normal bars showing health and mana and puts them in a sleeker, movable square format, which makes your view a lot less crowded. The best part is it allows you to have a moving 3D image of your character instead of a picture. Both of these add-ons are full of options that you can change. I'll link some of the pictures of my UI, and these can both be found at wowui.worldofwar.net, the website I recommend for add-ons when getting it straight from the add-on author is not possible, and he includes some links. To answer the question of why I do not prefer Curse.com, if you remember, he said one of the add-ons he liked was only available at Curse.com, is because after being hacked a few months ago, I take extreme precautions in everything I do, and after scanning many of the add-ons downloaded off of Curse.com, I found them to contain keyloggers and viruses. Wow.
Wow, yuck.
Yeah, well, and lastly, here is my story about what I've done with my alts for the contest. A few weeks ago in Karazhan Raid, I spent time switching between Tria and Thalu, T-H-A-Y-L-O-O. I guess he's a tea person. Not only did I run both characters to the instance, I switched characters after almost every boss, because of what each character needed off of the bosses. And a little side note, running into Ogremar and sheeping people is quite a fun experience. Oh.
He's Alliance.
Alliance.
You'd forgotten that bit, didn't you?
Oh, my God. I mean, it's just funny because, you know, he seems like such a nice...
You just assume that all the nice people are a play the whore, don't you?
And he's not 13. Well, if he is, he's a very good organizer.
Stop it.
I know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I've never looked at X-Pearl Unit Frames. I know plenty of people that do use it and are very happy with it. I did look at Bongos once when I was trying to figure out how I wanted to redo my UI. And it was probably before Burning Crusade, actually. I think my problem is I got burnt too many times prior to Burning Crusades with post-patch, you know, not having stable mods again for days.
Right.
And not being, you know, losing so much time in trying to redo it all and having to go back to the default UI and set of mods and learning how to play without those mods. I reckon it's been a lot better since Burning Crusades. I'm not sure whether it's Burning Crusades changed the API or whether just the quality of people writing mods and add-ons, it's just developed to the point where they're a lot more stable and a lot more responsive to patches coming out and actually doing testing on the test realms before patches come out. So, I'm kind of once bitten, twice shy in terms of changing my whole UI look and feel for fear of post-patch blues.
Trauma. I'm looking at his screenshots, and they are very impressive.
Mm.
And they're clean. He's got more open area.
Yep.
And I like the fact that there are certain things I'm noticing about his chat bars, too, because, like, for G chat, it just says G. Why do you need the whole guild, word guild written out?
Yep.
And also, it seems like he has something here.
That's a different mod. I actually stumbled across that today, coincidentally enough. It's a chat mod that lets you customize a lot of chat stuff.
It also seems like he has something that shows the level of the people talking in chat. That's kind of neat, too. But one of these that I'm really impressed with, and it's let me see which one it's his current UI. And yes, Tria, you look awesome on your Nether Drake. Show off. The one he's currently has the mini map. My Drobo just fell off the shelf under the. The desk. Okay. Sorry about that.
you can just cut that out.
Yes. The mini map is down in the bottom.
Bottom in the middle, yeah.
Yes. I think that would be easier. Because you wouldn't have to keep looking up.
You'd notice it a lot more. That's no good for dual boxing though.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's kinda neat though. All right, thanks, Tria. We always love hearing from you. So, our second email. Do you want to go with that one?
Yeah, okay. This one's from Patrick. It's not
Patrick. Our Patrick.
But it's the Patrick. Hello again. One of my must-have mods, aside from the core mods of Gatherer, Cartographer, and Auctioneer, is a mod called Price Per. When looking over auctions in the auction house, you see, for example, a stack of 12-something for 10 gold. Price Per breaks down the price per each unit in the stack so you know what is the cheapest stack if you're looking to buy and what your competition is if you're trying to sell without having to break out the calculator. In a word of caution, on the mod that sells all your grey items at once, every once in a while I'll find a grey item that is in demand in the auction house. So if you'll mindlessly get used to vendoring all grey items, you may miss an opportunity to make a nice profit. Well, that's a good point. There are, for Dark Moon Fair, I think that's one case where there's grey items that are actually in demand. Not that I would know what they are if I needed to keep them anyway, but there's probably a mod that tells you that. But the price per sounds good. I had a feeling it's been a while now since I've actually bothered trying to use and abuse the auction house, but I had a feeling that Auctioneer actually had a built-in option for...
Auctioneer does too. So if you don't have Auctioneer set up, then Price Per. But I think Price Per also, it just does it separately without the Auctioneer.
But definitely you want something like that because there's people stick up one stack, three, seven, 12, and it's like even if you're just looking for one, sometimes it's a lot better to buy a stack of seven and use your one and resell the six. A lot of people don't think about that. They just look, you know, I need one, just buy one, even if it's ridiculously priced.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good mod.
Yep.
Cool.
So thanks for that, Patrick. We have another one for the contest. I'll read that one. Or did you want to read it?
Oh, I haven't read it yet, so I'll give it a go and see how badly I can botch it. I'll scroll to the end and say that this is from Komish. How did you pronounce it?
Komish.
Komish. Oh, good. Yeah. Does it sound the same when I say it?
Yes.
Komish? Yeah. Terrific. Thanks very much for answering my question on the most recent podcast. It was great to have that answer there. I've managed to figure everything out recently and have my personal account settled and ready to go. So the bright side is that I have my toons back. I've started an alt and kept dual boxing in the back of my mind, but I've decided to just play my alt with a few friends instead. I just wanted to submit my story for the WoW Authenticator as well in this email. From what I understand, you guys are asking for the craziest thing you've ever done with an alt. Well, I actually have two, but one is more background and one is the story. My alt situation in WoW has always been this. I'm never able to actually keep an alt just as that. As I make an alt, I make it my main for the time being. Why? Because if I don't do this in my head, I won't play him as much as I'd like to. And since I love exploring classes, I'll just make it my main for the time being. As you can guess, this makes my friends on different servers very frustrated, as every time I would make an alt, I would tell them to send me tells there, and I could change tunes anywhere from once a month to once a week. That would get frustrating. I would hit the tune very hard and be an avid player of that class, and then eventually burn out on it and roll something else or roll back into my other tune. It's a sign of a true alt-aholic. That's terrific. Well, it eventually got to the point that I would just delete my old main, never level 70 at the time, but it would be somewhere in his 30s, and I would remove it so that I could focus on this new main. As you can see, this creates a problem with progression. I would never get past level 30. So basically, I've had an alt that has reached level 30 of every class, every horde race, and two of the alliance races. This basically creates a sort of boredom of playing zones. So for me, any alt
I've beginner started, zones, beginning zones.
Ah, yes, so boredom of the beginning zones. So for me, any alt I start, currently working on a rogue, I basically go crazy doing the first few land zones because I've done them so many times. I can relate to that. Now into the craziest story. A few months back, I decided to roll a hunter, again to replace my main, but at this point, I had a 70 main. Of course, it never actually replaced my main and remained to be an alt. However, I did manage to be completely into this character and was very serious as far as getting him a pet I loved and good professions and the like. Now, once he hit level 20, I decided to myself that I wanted to find the most unique pet for that level to level up with me. This pet was going to be my level 70 pet. He was going to follow me all the way through. I knew I'd grab a Ravager if I made it to the Outlands, but I would continue to have this pet with me for a long time. I decided I'd get the Ghost Saber pet. This pet is available in Darkshore. So I took my female Orc Hunter, flew her to the Barrens, walked myself up to Ashenvale, grabbed both Horde flight paths, at which point I crossed the border into Darkshore, walked straight from very south Darkshore, all the way to the very top of Darkshore where this cat could be found. However, if you've ever attempted to get this cat, you'll know that it isn't just a mob that is walking around. In order for this to work, you have to go into the land with a bunch of rubble spread over quite a big mess of land. No, I haven't done that, so I didn't know that. Mm-mm. I didn't know much about this quest when I started it, so I dismissed my pet before I took off to get this kitty. Big mistake. In this land full of rubble, there are many, many Nagas all around level 20. You have to pass in order to find a tiny cat figurine on the floor. Only one figurine spawns in this entire area at a time. Oh, my God. Once you find this figurine, you have to click on it, loot it, and hope that a Ghost Saber spawns. If it doesn't, you get a cat figurine loot piece. And then you're off to hunt the next figurine.
Oh,
I spent over 2 hours in one sitting trying to get this cat to spawn to no avail, all the while sniping down Nagas. I was forced to grind level 21 completely in this time due to the amount of Nagas. The next day, I went ahead and decided to give this hunting another stab. For those of you who play hunters, I was using the Hawkeye spell repeatedly. I was using it to find certain high points to pan my camera around in search of this cat. After another hour of farming for this cat, I was unable to get the cat to spawn and return to my main for the time being. The next day, after about half an hour, I noticed that the servers were going down for rolling restarts. In desperation, I frantically searched for more figurines before the server went down. About 5 minutes before the server went down, I spotted one. I scrambled to the figurine, killing any nagas as fast as possible. Finally reached it. I opened it up and hoped for a cat, and there it was. I tamed it, and 5 seconds later, the server disconnected me for a restart. I waited for the restart, re-logged in, and there was my beautiful Ghost Saber, the only cat that is translucent before you learn the spell Prowl.
Oh, how cool. Oh, congrats. That's awesome.
What really made me mad was when I logged in. Once I knew I had my cat, I noticed that there was a figurine right in front of me. Just for the fun of it. And another cat spawned. I was so mad. It took over 50 figurines to get this cat to spawn. And then once I have him, another one spawns. Ridiculous, in my opinion, but that's my luck. Anyway, that's my story. Thanks very much for the answer again. Oh, that's cool. Oh, my God.
Oh,
that sounds, that sounds like something that I would do.
Yeah, or, yeah, that does. That's great. Thank you. And he just reminded us. This was the one from last week who was having the problem with the accounts and getting an account and everything. And so he's all set and having fun. And, oh, wow, he sounds awesome, you know.
He sounds very alcoholic-ism-ish.
Yes. And see, that's the neat part about this game is that you can play it anyway, even crazy.
Spending 3 days trying to get a cat.
Cat, that is so neat. And I never even heard of that. Had you heard of this figurine?
No.
All right. So now I'm tempted to take one of my hunters out and get this and find this figurine.
It's occurred to me, as I finished reading it, it occurred to me that I know where this is. It's an alliance area where we do quests, but I didn't realize that there was. And I remember the figurines because it's just some other quest that you actually open stuff that's like that. But I had no idea that that was actually something that you could get a pet from. That's cool.
Yes, that's pretty awesome. All right, so I think this brings us to another Control Alt WoW. It's been a fun week, don't you think?
It has been.
Yes, and
hopefully the next week will be even more fun riding around with level 30
mounts. Level 30, I know. One of my
a few hours will know.
Yeah.
Or if you're listening to this, you already know.
Right, yep. So let us know what you think of the new patch. You can write us at controlaltwow@gmail.com. You can also rate us on iTunes. We're on iTunes. And you can do a search for Control Alt WoW. Or and you can also dig us at dig.com. They have a podcast section. And we will have another week for anyone who wants to put in email for that authenticator. Oh, yep. You can also call us at Control Alt WoW on the Skype. If you have Skype, that'll work. And leave a message and we can play it on the show.
That'd be good.
Yeah, that'd be great. So this is Aprilian signing off for episode 71 for the Horde.
And this is a show for the Horde.
It's been real. May you always be victorious.
May the gates of Quel'Thalas be open to you. Always.
May our paths cross again.
Catch you later.
Al Dir Shalah.
Go in peace.